Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, Lord willing, we'll conclude our discussion from yesterday. The doctor was at the debate when we aired audio from Donald Trump, about a half a minute's worth, talking about abortion and his administration, Roe v. Wade, and responding to Joe Biden, saying in what sounds like total sincerity, honestly, that they are not trying to overturn Roe v. Wade, and that Biden has no idea what Amy Barrett's views are on abortion. So we went from that audio to the Constitution and personhood. That's an article that I was asked to write. What an honor. And that article appears at American Right to Life's website, AmericanRTL.org/Constitution. So we're going to continue with that momentarily, but first, a news update and a correction. We've corrected this on our website, but we gave out false information about a week ago saying that Les Feldick, a nationally known Bible teacher, had died. It turns out the rumors of Les Feldick's death have been greatly exaggerated, and he's very much alive. But I do want to take that opportunity to mention another case when we stated something that was incorrect on the air. Now, at our website, kgov.com, at the bottom of every page, there is an error link, an errata link, where people could go and find our 5 most significant errors we've made in 30 years broadcasting 5 days a week, errors we've made on the air. Then there are 3 lesser errors, and we point out that we correct even lesser errors on the very show page where we made the mistake. So I want to mention not only that we incorrectly reported Les Feldick's death, but there's one other instance that I could think of in 30 years where we simply reported something that had been communicated to us by ostensibly reliable sources. Apparently, there's some online scam going on against Les Feldick. He's 93 years old. When I heard that he had passed away, I went and checked his website, and the last entry was from March of this year, saying he was about to turn 93. And so I thought, well, you know, you're 93 years old, and if you pass away, maybe you don't update your website right away, right? Your family. At any rate, we got that wrong, as did many others. There are listeners to this program that sent cards in to Les Feldick's ministry. I feel especially bad that some people included large donations. I don't know if they offer refunds, but just be patient, you know. Eventually we'll all be with the Lord one way or another. But the other time when we reported something that was just simply false, and I got a call from the pastor of a large church, and he was fuming. He was really angry. It's the Calvary Chapel of Philadelphia, and good-sized church. And I had reported on the air, after speaking with one of his members, that while Calvary Chapels are the home of some of the strongest commitment to the Scriptures in this country and around the world, apparently the Calvary Chapel in Philadelphia has really begun to compromise. Now, what I'm about to say is false. It's not true. But it was communicated to me by a member of this church, Calvary Chapel of Philadelphia. So I said on the air that one particular congregation of the thousands of Calvary chapels out there in Philadelphia, the pastor is teaching that it's okay for unmarried people to shack up, go on a cruise together, and so on. And I said, this is stunning. This is so discouraging. I just can't even, I can't fathom it. Anyway, I said it on the air. A day later, the pastor, the senior pastor that church calls, and he is so angry by what we had said. And as I recall, he didn't go out of his way to ask me where had I gotten such information. And I tried to share that with him, but as I recall, I wasn't even able to let him know. And he was angry, corrected the record, and the call was over. Okay, so the way I got that information was from a member of his church. And we did look into this enough to know that indeed this was one of his church members. In fact, the guy who called me, his whole family and extended family go to that church, and they're all Christian. So we really had no reason to doubt this guy when he says, at our church, our pastor teaches it's perfectly acceptable to live together, to go on a cruise. And the reason this came up was because on the air, I was criticizing a young Christian couple because they were going on a cruise together. And this guy took offense at what I had just said. So he called in. He said, Bob, you're not the standard of morality, you know, at our church. And he makes the case that his pastor says there's nothing wrong with unmarried people living together, traveling together, going on a cruise in this instance. And so I was stunned. It never entered my mind that this guy would be lying, a bald-faced lie about his own pastor. And he lied in order to try to win the argument. Is that despicable or what? So when the pastor called, of course, I was apologetic. I would have loved to tell him how the whole issue arose, but we never quite got to that. So our website, kgov.com, it's also the home of Real Science Radio, rsr.org, also the home of TheologyThursday.com. And all these, regardless of which people go to, if they see a banner ad or an email or somebody posts on social media, it all goes to the same website. And at the bottom of every page, there are about 10,000 pages where at the bottom they link to our errors. And we keep track of the most significant errors we believe we've made over the course of 30 years and some of the errors of lesser importance. And we mention the two methods of correcting errors that we use here at Bob and Yurt Live. And at the top, we point out that it's not what we don't know that's so bad. It's what we know that isn't so. So that's our report on misinformation, fake news, from right here, your host, Bob Enyart at BELandKGov.com. And our apology to Les Feldick and his family. Les, we're rooting for you. Thanks for teaching the Bible rightly divided. Then a news item. The Ukrainian ambassador under Obama that Trump kept until he fired her, who was against him in the Ukraine impeachment. You know how the Dems said that from now on, whenever Trump's presidency is mentioned, there would be an asterisk next to his name because he was impeached. And they're a little confused about that. Actually, from now on, whenever impeachment is mentioned, there'll be an asterisk after impeachment saying, by the way, sometimes it's just a pure hoax. So it turns out that the Ukrainian ambassador, Obama's, and other bureaucrats related were breaking federal law when they were having the State Department monitor about a dozen U.S. citizens, Sean Hannity, John Solomon of JustTheNews.com, and others, specifically how they were reporting on Hunter Biden and the corruption. Joe Biden is the one who's guilty. I mean, Hunter Biden was an accomplice, but the bribes were being paid to Joe Biden. The many millions of dollars sent to his son Hunter and to Joe's brother and sister-in-law, to the family generally, they were all bribes to Joe Biden. And the Republicans who criticize Biden over this, they don't do a good job of explaining this. They act as though it's Hunter Biden who was committing the crimes. Well, nobody paid Hunter Biden millions of dollars for Hunter Biden's influence. All these bribes were given to Joe Biden. It didn't matter if the money went to his family members. They were in an effort to bribe him, and they succeeded. Regardless of how many jobs went to China, Joe Biden is not going to complain because his family was being enriched by many millions of dollars from the communist Chinese. So selling out Americans and their livelihood, their jobs, going to China and their unfair trading practices, not a problem at all because Joe's family was becoming wealthy. During all this, the Ukrainian ambassador and other bureaucrats wanted to keep tabs on what was being said, what was going on with about a dozen Americans in the media regarding their statements about Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and other related matters. And it turns out that's against the law. In America, you're not allowed to use government resources to keep tabs on individuals. Now, back about 15 years ago, the ACLU sued the Denver Police Department because they were doing the exact same thing that the State Department was doing against Sean Hannity and John Solomon and others, only they were doing it with local Colorado media folks and activists. There were about maybe a dozen or 20 or so people that they were monitoring. They had files on them. And one of the 20 was me, Bob Enyart. So we get a registered letter from the Denver Police Department acknowledging the challenge against their practice, and they had indeed been keeping a file on me, and I had 2 weeks to get downtown to inspect the file, and then it would be destroyed. And of course, I never went, right? Why go? I mean, I know me. I know what I've done. I also know whatever lies are being told about me. I mean, stuff on wherever it is, Wikipedia or wherever. The worst of the stuff typically is true because I have destroyed some lives in my own brief history, tragically. Suffering results from people disobeying God and being selfish. And regardless of the particular circumstance of the suffering, even if it comes from what appears to be a natural disaster, you could trace that back to the fall in the garden when God created a paradise. But most of the suffering that we experience as human beings, most of it is because of our own sin and the sin of those around us. And tragically, that's true in my case. But I knew what I had done. I knew what the lies are told about me. There are some people who make like a cottage industry of making up videos that are wildly imaginative and totally fictitious about me. And we've had friends who are so frustrated, years and years would go by, and I wouldn't watch those videos, just not interested. We got a FedEx here at the studio, and it was a thick envelope. It must have had about 200 pages in it. I only read the first two sentences of the cover letter, and apparently it was someone's file they're keeping on me based on public and other records that they're sharing with the media and authorities. And so I read the first two sentences of the cover letter, one-page cover letter, and I just toss the whole thing in the trash. That was it. And Pops, Al Sharon, our office manager, he went to be with the Lord 2 years ago. Pops had already opened the mail. I get all my mail opened, and so he was waiting for me to see this. And he sees I read the first two sentences and I throw it out. And he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, Pops, what do you want me to do? I don't have the time. I'm not interested. So he takes it out of the trash and says, we got to go through this. I said, Pops, I'm not going to go through it. Thank you for your concern. If you go through it, just promise me one thing. You will not tell me anything about what's in it. And he did, and he kept his promise, and he never told me anything about what's in it. So the Denver Police Department destroyed my own file that I had zero interest in. It is something, right, with technology today. You just do a Google search about somebody. But of course, the tools that the State Department, the CIA, the FBI, that they have are incredibly powerful. And they will pick up details about your life that, you know, could surprise even you. Wow, I didn't even know that was out there. And assemble it all in a nice, neat little report. So now we go back to Donald Trump and his answer to Joe Biden during the debate, the first presidential debate of 2020, when Joe Biden was saying that with Trump's nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court, the goal is to eliminate abortion rights. And Donald Trump, and we'll hear this right now, but apparently in all honesty and sincerity, he says, no, that's not the goal at all. You have no idea what you're talking about. And further, you don't even know what Barrett's view is on abortion. And we've been saying these things to Christians, to not only pro-lifers, conservatives, but to the leaders of anti-abortion or pro-life organizations for decades now. And that they've been lying when they tell their supporters that so-and-so Republican president just nominated 20 pro-life judges. I remember that happened with George W. Bush. And at lifenews.com, by the way, you want to skip lifenews.com. Lifesitenews.com, certainly much better than lifenews.com. Lifenews.com reported George W. Bush just nominated 20 pro-life federal judges. And so we challenged him on that and had him. He did end up coming on the show for a debate we had. You might want to listen to that. You could find that at kgov.com/debates. But what a scam. The evidence he had that these federal judges were against abortion was zero. It's simply the lie that National Right to Life, Focus on the Family, AUL, and on have been telling their donors and their supporters for decades. So before we continue with the article at American Right to Life's website, The Constitution and Personhood Jurisprudence, let's hear again Donald Trump from the debate, and then we'll hear from Amy Coney Barrett.
The point is that the president also is opposed to Roe v. Wade. That's on the ballot as well in the court, And so that's also at stake right now. And so the election is already
begun. You don't know it's on the ballot. Why is it in the ballot?
Because
why is it on the ballot? It's not on the ballot.
It's on the ballot in the court.
I don't think so.
In the court.
Well, there's nothing happening there.
Donald, would you
just be quiet
for me?
And you don't know her view on Roe v. Wade.
I don't
know her view.
So we mentioned yesterday how Roe v. Wade is used, of course, to refer to the opinion of something called the Supreme Court. But it's also used as a metaphor to refer to abortion or abortion rights. And Donald Trump is exactly correct in telling Joe Biden, you don't know her views on abortion rights. And it seems to us like all the previous nominees from Republican pro-life presidents to the Supreme Court that Amy Barrett agrees with the central holding of Roe v. Wade, that the unborn child does not have a right to life, that the unborn child is not a person. But let's hear, she was asked in this judicial philosophy event by a moderator just a few years ago, 2016, down in Florida, asked about the future. She was asked about how a judge's personal views, their philosophy, affects their decisions, and how does this relate to Roe v. Wade? And so she volunteers the term abortion rights, That term, that wasn't asked of her, but she very comfortably, nonchalantly talks about abortion rights. It's as though if we were in Germany or addressing the lynching of blacks 150 years ago, and a judge just says, well, lynching rights, really, you could expect them to be perhaps modified in a minor way, but certainly they're not going to be undermined. Or if you're in Germany, well, you could expect some regulations for these camps, but don't expect them to be closed down. That's too much.
People phrase the abortion question when they think about the Supreme Court as, is Roe versus Wade going to be overruled? Roe versus Wade actually isn't the law. It was superseded by Casey versus Planned Parenthood. But we've had, you know, 30 plus years of a court that did take, you know, on the whole, a more conservative approach to the judicial role. And Roe versus Wade, Casey versus Pennsylvania, left Roe largely intact, reinstated a new test, but it's still there. I don't think that abortion or the right to abortion would change.
Do you think some of the restrictions might change?
I think some of the restrictions would change.
All right. So very nonchalant, and we'll find out, right? It might take 10 years, 20 years, like it has with other justices that Christian pro-lifers sacrifice so much to get them on the bench, and you find out that they're pro-abortion. Antonin Scalia, he's dead. And you have National Right to Life and Republican leaders and so many claiming that he was the most pro-life justice we've ever had. And boy, if that's true, that's a condemnation of all the others, because he said at a Pew Forum, if you pass a law banning abortion nationwide, I'll strike down that law. And if you want abortion, convince your friends that it's a good idea and pass a law and I'll uphold that law. So that's not anti-abortion. That's pro-process. He was a legal positivist. He was the enemy. And he said at Pepperdine University, when asked by a student, if you ignore your personal views and just uphold the law, he was asked, well, then what if you would have been a judge in Nazi Germany? And Antonin Scalia's answer, this is a hero to the pro-life movement, and what a perfect representation of the catastrophe, the judicial crisis we have. His answer was, well, then I guess I would have been convicted at Nuremberg. That was his answer. How's that? He's telling you, well, I might not have personally agreed with throwing Jews into the ovens at Mauthausen. I might personally not have agreed with gassing them in the showers at Auschwitz. I might not have agreed with Zyklon B being used, packing them into trucks, and while they're in transit, pumping gas or the exhaust fume of the engine into the back of the truck and killing them. I might not have agreed to lining up the Jews over an open pit and gunning them down, and the ones who were alive just using a bulldozer and burying them alive. I might not personally agree with that. But if that is the law, then I'm going to uphold it. And so then, well, I guess I would be convicted at Nuremberg. In all that, in the name that we are a nation of laws, what a lie. When God's enduring command, do not murder, is undermined, you are no longer a nation of laws. You are a nation of the decriminalized slaughter of the innocent, crimes against humanity, systemic injustice. And in our case, it's the slaughter of the unborn and of the elderly infirm through euthanasia and doctor-assisted suicide and so on. So yesterday, as we're going through the Constitution and personhood over at American Right to Life's website, we saw where do rights come from, and that whether or not a particular state's constitution or laws uphold or ban the killing of certain individuals is not really relevant to whether something is actually a crime and you'll be held guilty by God and by history. Whether or not your constitution or some law says you could abort or says you could own blacks or whatever is reasonably irrelevant. So then we looked at ancient Greece and Persia and the Hebrews and how abortion has been recognized as murder in history. And we got to the history of execution in America. In the case of a pregnant woman in Massachusetts and the U.S. Supreme Court, both have dealt with a plea of pregnancy. And this has been recognized from the very first capital case in the United States in which a woman and three men were executed. Now, sadly, with the early stages of pregnancy not well understood until much later, just go to carnegiestages.com. An execution would only be postponed if quickening, quote, quickening of the child had been determined. And more sadly still, after conflicting and repeated testimony by many investigators as to whether the woman was pregnant, an autopsy proved that a five-month-old unborn child indeed had been killed in the hanging of his mother. Then, after that case in 1778, Massachusetts, Commonwealth versus Bathsheba Spooner, the court supported the plea of pregnancy. More than 100 years later, in 1891, the U.S. Supreme Court in Union Pacific Railway versus Botsford, consistent with Scripture, positively observed that in common law, a woman convicted of a capital crime would be examined for pregnancy, quote, in order to guard against the taking of the life of an unborn child for the crime of the mother. That is right. That is proper. For as we demonstrate at AmericanRTL.org/Bible, God's word is filled with teachings showing the personhood of the unborn child. And though generally speaking, as King Solomon wrote, punishment should be executed swiftly, the Bible condemns killing a child for the crimes of a parent. As for example, Deuteronomy 24:16 states, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own crime. These same principles, both in Scripture and in America's legal history, also condemn the rape and incest exceptions by Donald Trump, promoted ad nauseum by National Right to Life. That is, the practice of killing an unborn child because her father is a criminal. So the article goes on and concludes shortly after that information, but real helpful, AmericanRTL.org/Constitution. You might want to look at that, and KGov.com/Republican Judicial Crisis. KGov.com/Republican-Judicial-Crisis lays out the case. If you have a ruling from a federal judge or the U.S. Supreme Court that especially angers you, issued by a Republican judge or majority, send it along to bob@kgov.com, and we just may add it to our Republican Judicial Crisis. May God bless you.